Tonight's message is going to answer a lot of questions for a lot of people concerning healing. During worship tonight, the Lord impressed upon me that somebody watching this is your answer. What you've been seeking as far as healing is concerned. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background about me. I've been in ministry long enough to where the majority of the people who listen to me do not really understand my upbringing in church. And they don't understand the depth to which I believed what I was taught. I was raised in a Baptist church, and we were taught you must be born again. We were taught about the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. We were taught that if you're not born again, you are going to hell. We were taught you must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we knew that. There was no doubt in our minds about that whatsoever. But one of the things that we were taught is that healing is not for today. We were taught that you cannot lay hands on people to see healing. We knew that God could heal. I mean, He's God. He can do anything. But when it came to believing for healing to manifest, we did not believe that that Christians could believe that way. We just didn't believe that divine healing was available to everybody. That was pretty much if God wills. And that's how we would pray. When we would pray for somebody who was battling a sickness, we in essence would pray, you know, Father, we're praying for, you know, Brother Joe, and he's very sick right now with, you know, whatever. And if it be thy will, we ask that he be healed. That's how I was raised. That's what I heard. I was raised in church from a baby. So I heard this repeatedly. I believed it. I was convinced it was true. When I prayed, when it got to the place to where I was asked to pray, like maybe in Sunday school, or we would have Sunday school on Sunday nights. It was called training union. So we had Sunday school in the morning and training union at night. Wednesday night classes and all this. But whenever anybody asked me to pray, and it had to do with, you know, a healing thing, you know, anybody got any prayer requests, whatever, I would pray that way. You know, Father, if it be thy will, you know, heal whoever. That is how I prayed. Because that is what I was taught, and that is what we believed. We did not doubt that God loved us. We did not doubt He wanted our best. But we did not believe that healing was for today. And if somebody would say that healing was for today, we might politely tolerate it, but then we would, among ourselves, make sure we understood healing was not for today. Well, time went on in my life, and I ended up in a church, not because I was looking for a different church, but you know, I played a whole lot of softball, so Mom and Dad, they started attending a different church, and I just wanted to know, do they have a softball team? And Mom said, well, yeah, I think they're going to have one for the first time. And so I started attending that church just so I could play another night of softball. This was what you would call a full gospel church, a charismatic church. I don't know, whatever term you like. But they believed in healing. And they believed the healing was for today. They believed you could lay hands on the sick and see people healed. They would practice that. Pray for people, pray for their healing, lay hands on them and the whole nine yards. And, I saw people healed. There were miracles that took place. You know, when that happens, and when it happens on a regular basis, then you sit back and you compare what you're seeing. Now, when they preached the messages in this other church, they preached Jesus Christ, shed blood. You must be, same thing, born again. It was the same thing I heard when I was being raised. But in this area of healing, there was a vast difference in what we were taught. So here in this one church, my softball church, I'm seeing things happen I've never seen in my life. So I compare that to what I'd always been taught. Now the foundation was the same. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, faith in Him and Him alone for salvation. So that foundation was the same. But for healing, the teachings branched off. Now, in the one church, it was, Father, if it be thy will. Now, we didn't want people to stay sick. But, you know, sometimes it was like, well, you know, God uses sickness to teach people a lesson. That's what we heard if it be thy will, and so on and so forth. You know, essentially, we just hope for the best. I mean, it's really what it came down to. But now, in this other church, there's a bunch of people getting healed. And not just, you know, well, I got this little hangnail right here. I'm talking about there were some miracles taking place. So it sure must have been God's will for those folks in that church. And they never even prayed that way. They never said, Father, if it be thy will, heal Joe. They never prayed that way. They prayed as though it was supposed to happen. Well, you talk about being at your own crossroads. Like, who was it? Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. So here I am. It's like, okay, you know, we loved God in church, number one, where I was raised. These folks over here love God. Everybody believes in Jesus, shed blood of Jesus, salvation, the whole nine yards, being born again. But over here, these guys, they act like healing is a reality. So I begin reading about this, and I begin learning about it. I begin studying it. I begin taking a look in Scripture. What I did was think about what I had been taught in the past and compare it to what I was hearing taught now. But then I'm looking in Scripture as well. I'm looking at the Word of God. And I began to realize healing is for today. Well, see, at this point, I know a lot of folks would still, well, now, Brother Martin, you just don't understand. No, I do understand, and I want to explain to you why I understand and what I understand. Because, you see, for some people, when they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, okay, you know, you've got this infection, take these pills, take them till they're completely gone, and, you know, you should be okay. You take the pills, and the infection goes away, everybody's happy. But if you go to the doctor and he says, I'm sorry, the tests have come back, and we give you less than a year to live. Now, that's all the doctor knows what to do. Well, what are you going to do at that point? Well, some people, seriously, they resign themselves. Well, if this is what God wants for me, and if this is the way God is going to receive me or take me into heaven, then you know what? I'm okay with it. All right, you may be okay with it, but with all due respect, that's an extremely selfish attitude. Because you've got a lot of friends and family who may not be okay with it. Is that the legacy that you want to leave behind? And I'm not trying to be critical of people. What I'm trying to do is to get us to think about these things. So the doctor says, well, you know, you only have a limited time. Well, what do I do with this now? And what's interesting is that many people, when I say people, I mean, I'm talking Christians here tonight, okay? People who are born again. When they get that you have just a little time left here on this earth, their attitude can change very quickly. They can actually develop a type of desperation. See, I don't know about you, but I don't want to die. What I want to do is live as long as this body can go and serve the Lord and minister. That's what I want to do. I don't want to go. And I know this, God doesn't want to take me out. Sometimes this is kind of sound arrogant, but I feel like when I go places, the people near me are safe. Just because I have work to do here on this earth, a lot of work to do for the Lord. So I don't have fear of flying, for example. I don't have fear of driving. I don't have fear. If God says, I want you to go someplace, I believe He's going to watch over me, protect me. I don't believe God is going to trick me and say, I want you to go someplace, and halfway there, He's going to say, well, you get a car wreck. See you in about 20 minutes. No, I don't believe God doesn't play those kind of games. When it comes to the whole issue of healing, there are a lot of people who don't believe in healing. Now, I hope that a lot of folks who don't believe in healing will hear this message tonight. I'm not criticizing you. What I'm trying to do is help you understand I was where you are, and I did not believe that healing was for today. I did not believe what those crazy charismatics teach. I did not believe that. But I came to a place of seeing something totally different, and I want to share that with you tonight. And I'm going to, along the way, I'll share some things that have happened in my own life relative to healing, things that I was told weren't supposed to happen. Now, when it comes to healing, one of the first things is you have to know your Father. I'm talking about your Heavenly Father. You have to know Him. It's one thing to acknowledge His existence, but it's something totally different to know Him. Now, how do you get to know him? Well, you spend time in fellowship with him. I mean, no disrespect to that idea. That's not good enough. You say, well, now, wait a minute. How do you figure that's not good? No. See, if you spend fellowship with him, hours a day of fellowship with him, but you go into that fellowship not really knowing who's waiting for you, and you do not know his position on things, then you will go into fellowship with him not believing healing is for today, and you will leave that time of fellowship not believing that healing is for today. You have to know who your Father is. Now, how do you get to know who your Father is? Right here in the Word of God. The Bible is the introduction to your Father and the confirmation of who He is. Now, I want you to see something. Look in John chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at a lot of Scripture tonight. A lot of Scripture. We've got a lot of ground to cover. This tonight is a synopsis sermon, meaning it is not an entire teaching series or seminar, but it's the whole thing rolled into one. Now, the reason for that is because this might be the last sermon somebody hears before they reach a point of being so physically weak from sickness, they just can't focus on sermons anymore. I mean, I know what it's like to be so physically devastated from sickness that you can't even confess the Word of God. It's difficult to say, I praise you, Jesus, because your body is so completely wiped out. In John chapter 6, look here in verse 38. Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. And in John chapter 14, Jesus was asked the question by Philip, "Show us the Father." And Jesus answered in verse 9, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" So Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Then he said, if you've seen me, if you have witnessed my life, my behavior, the things that I do, you have seen the Father in action. Because I didn't come to do my will, I'm doing the will of the Father. So by doing the will of the Father, you've seen what the Father would do if he were here on earth in his own body. Now, relative to healing, we know what Jesus did. He went about healing people, did he not? I'm not going to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just to start reading all the times people were healed. If you want to see this in action, and now this is up to you. If you want to see it, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You do it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Get it in you. As you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you're going to see is the Father's will in action on earth when it comes to healing. Not one time did Jesus make anybody sick. And every single time that somebody went to Jesus for a healing, they received their healing. 100% of the time. Well, this addresses that the way that we used to pray when I was growing up. Father, if it be thy will, heal so-and-so. Well, if Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, and then we see all this healing taking place, then it must be the will of the Father for this healing. It must have been. He would not have healed people if it weren't the will of the Father. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And this whole thing about, well, you know, sometimes God makes people sick to teach them a lesson. When did he start that? Seriously, when did he start making people sick to teach them a lesson? See, it had to have been after Jesus came to earth. And the reason I say that is, everybody who went to Jesus received healing. How did Jesus know that some of those people weren't sick because the Father made them sick to teach them a lesson? Are you following my logic? So therefore, just that alone should tell you, God is not up in heaven looking for people to slap sickness on them, to make them sick, to make them diseased. One of the things that many Christians fail to realize is that sickness originated in Genesis chapter 3. When that corruption was released into all of creation, every human being is born with a corrupted genetic structure in their body. You don't have a perfect body. Well, we know that. That's a very simple thing to understand. That's why our bodies are battling stuff. It's because they are corrupted. Not because God did it, but because they're corrupted. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That right there tells me that I do not have to live my life wondering, "Father, is it your will for mom to be healed? Is it your will for my child to be healed? Is it your will for the neighbor to be healed?" I don't have to wonder this, because if I redeem the time, and relative to healing, that means getting into the Word to find out what God has said about healing, then I can come to the place of knowing what the will of the Lord is. So when it comes to healing, I don't have to live my life ever not knowing the will of the Lord. And if I just go back and take a look at the life of Jesus, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. That right there tells me it is the Father's will for healing to be carried out in people's bodies. Another thing concerning your healing is that not only do you have to know your Father, you have to know the reason Jesus came to earth. He came to earth to reveal the will of the Father. Now, I want you to think about this. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The primary purpose for Jesus to come to earth was so redemption could be appropriated, or salvation, the born-again experience, could be made available to mankind. Because the Father wants us to accept Jesus. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. Now, think along this line here, this logic. He came to die for our sins. Now, while He was here and before He died for our sins, what happened? Well, one of the things that happened, people got healed, did they not? Jesus did not have to heal anybody to die for our sins. All He had to do was go to the cross. He didn't have to heal anybody in order to save us. He healed people to reveal to people, this is what God has been wanting for you the whole time. He hasn't wanted you to lay here on this planet struggling in the sick bed and all these things that you go through. This is not what He's wanted for you. I mean, if that's what He wanted, He would have created Adam and Eve with defective bodies in the first place. He would have created germs and sickness and put them in the Garden of Eden. He would have told Adam and Eve, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. He didn't do that. Jesus healed people before He went to the cross so they would understand the will of your Father for you on this earth is not just to be saved, but also to have healing manifested in your body. You also need to know what the Bible says, not what people tell you it says. Now, this right here is so incredibly critical because, see, when I was growing up, we had the real Bible, King James, when I was growing up, okay? You know, some people every now and then, they backslide and bring in, you know, a living Bible or something else. I don't know. Now, just bear with me here, okay? We had the Bible. We could read it. But we listened to people more than God. God is speaking to you out of His Word. And when He says, my Son revealed my will, He went about healing people because that's my will. Okay, that's His word to us. And in Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what that means is Jesus Christ is still appropriating healing to people. It means this hasn't stopped. He's still wanting to demonstrate the will of the Father. We put faith in Him to be born again. People back then put faith in Him to receive healing. That's why they went to Him, was to be healed. Now we can still put our faith in Him to receive healing. But we have to put our faith in Him to receive the healing. It's one thing to put your faith in Him to be born again. But if you don't put your faith in Him to receive healing, then what makes you think you're going to receive any healing? You have to know what the Bible says, not what people tell you it says. Now, one of the things that we heard went something like this. Healing died out with the apostles. Okay, now, I challenge you. Now, seriously, I'm not poking fun at people. You start reading, go from Matthew all the way to the end of the New Testament. Take everything you've heard, like this, you know, healing that out with the apostles. Just take it, lay it aside, and just begin to read. Don't hop, skip, and jump through Scripture. Just read from Matthew on in order. You look hard for somewhere where it says healing will pass away with the apostles. It is not in the Bible. Now see, I believe things like that. But when I went back and I started in Matthew and I began to read and I just kept reading, I'm telling you right now, there is nothing, absolutely nothing in the New Testament anywhere which says that healing shall die out with the apostles when they die or something. It's not in there. It doesn't exist anywhere. What you have to do is esteem what is written in Scripture over what you've been taught. And that's what I had to do. I took what I've been taught, I compared it to Scripture, and I realized I had been mistaught, not by people who were trying to deceive me, but by people who didn't understand it. I realized that, okay? So no criticism. It's just now I understand and realize, and I figured this out. These things aren't in the Scriptures. It's not anywhere there. Listen, teaching that healing is not for today. Now listen closely to this. It's going to open your eyes to what's been happening in the body of Christ for so long, especially here in this nation. Teaching that healing is not for today is a Western-based mindset. It is established on the presumption that the gospel is already known. Here's why. We were taught healing and all those things, the miracles, they existed to get the church started. Now that the church has been started, those things are no longer necessary. Okay, then that assumes that the church, I'm talking body of Christ, Christianity, exists everywhere on this planet. Well, I have news for you. It doesn't. Listen, I've been to Africa, and I've heard the stories of people that heard the message of salvation just 5 years ago. Their tribe just heard it 10 years ago. There are cultures all over this planet that have never heard of Jesus Christ. They don't know the gospel. In other words, what I'm getting is the church doesn't exist over there. So now, if the healings existed for the establishing of a church, of the church in a region, then that means everywhere on earth where the church doesn't exist, healing is supposed to be manifesting. But people here say, well, it's not. It's because they teach healing's not for today because once a church was established. I've got news for you. The church has not been established everywhere. So therefore, healing needs to continue. And God's not a respecter of persons. So if healing is going to continue someplace where the gospel's never been preached, then for crying out loud, it sure ought to be manifesting where the gospel is being preached. Look in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So here we see right here that there are people out there who need to hear the gospel. They need to hear it preached. Okay, now, with that in mind, God wants us, or somebody, he's going to send people to go preach, correct? Well, how does God benefit by letting sickness keep you from sharing his love and the message of salvation with others? If people can't get saved unless they hear the message and he needs us to share the message, then how in the world does God benefit by laying you up or leaving you laid up with sickness in a bed someplace so that you can't tell anybody about Jesus? And people always try to excuse this, like, well, you know, God made me sick, so I'd be there and lay there in that hospital and be looking up at the ceiling and I'd learn to obey him. And while I was there, I told the other person in the room about Jesus Christ and I got saved. That's why God made me sick. That is not why God made you sick. If you're so concerned about sick people in the hospital, why don't you just go there and go from room to room, tell everybody about Jesus? Wouldn't that be more effective than just laying there on your back, hurting? You know, ringing the nurse for your pain pill and then telling the guy next to you, oh, by the way, God loves you. It's just like, well, he's doing a good job for you, isn't he? Yeah, he loves you so much, he slapped me with sickness so I could be in here suffering in pain just to tell you how much he loves you. Go, what? And again, I'm not trying to poke fun at people. I'm trying to get us to think about these kind of things that we hear. What purpose would your father have in making or leaving you sick? Well, to teach me a lesson. Excuse me, can't you learn from the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit? Didn't Jesus say he'd teach us all things? What about the Bible? I mean, are you telling me that you are so hard-hearted and so ignorant and so stubborn and so foolish that the only way that God can figure out how to teach you is to get you so sick that you end up in bed? I've got news for you. There are a lot of Christians who have been extremely sick, and then when they finally got better, they didn't change. So what lesson did they learn? What benefit, what purpose would your father have, your father, what purpose would he have in making or leaving you sick? Look in Psalm chapter 116. Psalm chapter 116. You know, when I was a kid growing up, anytime that I or my brother, my sister got sick, mom and dad always took us to the doctor. You know why? They wanted us to get better. They didn't want us to be sick. Now, you're telling me that my heavenly Father, my holy God Father, is different? That he wants me to struggle and be sick? Is that what you're telling me? Are you telling me that a God that loves me more than any human could possibly love me wants me sick for some reason? Let's think about this, guys. Come on. Let's consider the reality of who our God is. If God so loved the world, and while we were at sinners, he loved us and made salvation available. I mean, and sickness doesn't count. I mean, it's not, he doesn't love us enough to want us to be healed. In Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, a lot of people can read this and think, well, now you see there, God thinks it's precious when we die. Well, then praise God, let's all go get ourselves in a big old bus and get up to about 150 miles an hour and drive off a cliff. I mean, this make him real happy. See you in a minute, Lord. That's silly. You know that word precious? It doesn't mean makes him happy. That word precious means costly. It means he perceives our death as very costly to him. Because see, once we're out of here, who's left? He needs somebody to preach the gospel. What kingdom purpose can God accomplish by letting you die? You know how people think, well, when I die, I'll leave a legacy of serving the Lord. Yeah, you will, and you know what? It's just going to be a few years, and everybody's going to forget about who you are. Think about it. When people die, we make a big deal of it, but after a period of time, we hardly talk about them anymore. It's not because we don't love them. Come on, you know what I'm talking about here. Your legacy may hang around. Somebody might slap your name on the side of a building, but you know what? That's about it. And then we go on. If I were to ask you, who were the most popular preachers on earth 160 years ago? I don't think any of you could tell me. See what I'm getting at? Remember when Jesus was going around healing people? Do you realize not one of those people were saved? All those people were lost. Jesus never healed a Christian when he was on earth. Are you with me? He never healed a Christian. Now, why would your father want the lost healed and not his own children? Come on, think about this. When I was growing up, mom and dad didn't run down the neighborhood and knock on doors and say, your kid's sick, because we'll take him to the doctor. We'll get him all fixed up. Our kids are sick, but you know what? They'll get through it, you know, whatever. But, you know, your kids now. We want to see your kids. No way. They wanted their household healed. Now, they would be concerned for other parents' children, but they wanted us healed. Your Father in heaven, hey, he wants the people in the house and the people outside the house. In other words, he wants his own family and those not in his own family to be healed equally. He wants us all healed. So when Jesus was healing all those lost people back then, how much more does your Father, which is in heaven, want you healed? His children, the people who've been washed in the blood of his own Son, the people who put their faith in Jesus Christ to be born again, the people who are trusting him for their very eternal salvation every day of their lives, why would he not want us healed? Why would he prefer the lost over us? Should we not be the living, breathing example of what Almighty God as a Father can do for somebody? Absolutely. Now, let's talk about this whole thing of healing being appropriated. I mean, if you're still struggling believing that God wants you healed, then you need to listen to the first half of this sermon all over again. Because there's nothing in the Scriptures which tell us God does not want us healed. He is your Father and He wants you healed. The absence of healing does not disprove the Bible. I was going to share that later on in the message, but I think I need to drop it right now. I mean, it just came up to me. The absence of, in other words, just because healing doesn't manifest in your body does not mean, well, healing's not for today. Does that mean that all the people out there who aren't born again disproves the message of salvation? No, it doesn't. The difference is who believes for salvation and who doesn't. Those who believe in salvation receive the manifestation of salvation in their life. You have to come to the place of believing for healing. You have to believe it's for you. Now, let's talk about how is healing appropriated? How does it take place? And what we're going to do is we're just going to look at 8 examples. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these. Just, I'm giving this to you. You can look it up, study it deeper later on. But I'm going to give you 8 examples of how healing is appropriated, and I'm going to show these to you strictly from Scripture, all from the New Testament. Now, go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In verse 15, Jesus said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So now here's the first way healing can be appropriated. Person number one lays hands on the sick person and prays over them, and healing manifests. Now sometimes healing does not instantaneously manifest. I prayed for people. Healing didn't manifest right then, but I got the report back later. The healing manifested later that night, the next morning, the next week, something like that. I prayed for some people. The healing manifested right there as I was praying. I remember one time I was in a service, and I never met these people, didn't know them. But there was a prayer line, and I wasn't even preaching that night. They were just having me pray for some people. And so I was going down this line, and I just pray for people. And those of you that know, you know, when I lay hands on folks, I don't push. I mean, I just lay hands on you. And if the, you know, power of God hits you and you fall down, that's between you and God. But I don't push on people. And so I came to this one couple, and she was having these bad pains in her stomach, and I think she was pregnant at the time, these really bad pains. And so anyway, and I don't ask people for their medical history. You know, I mean, anyway, you know, I mean, I don't have to know the whole nine yards, all right? So anyway, I just laid hands on her, and I just prayed a very simple prayer, and all of a sudden she looked up and she said, "It's gone. The pain is gone." And she had been, I don't know how long this had been going on. And she looked at her husband and she said, "It's completely gone. This healing is, I mean, this pain is completely gone. I've been healed." And, you know, it's like, wow, well, praise God for that. Some people say, "When I pray for folks, I feel a tingling, I feel a heat, I feel electricity coming through my hand." And you know what? If you do, that's okay. But I can tell you for a fact, I've never felt those intense feelings when I pray for people. I just pray for people. And sometimes, you know, they look right at me and say, it's gone. It's, you know, I'm healed. And that was just one example. We'll look in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And you probably know ahead of time what I'm going to share here from this, but I'm going to share something else from this passage that most people miss. Now, When you read an instruction from God in the Word, that instruction is for a reason. It's for a purpose. It's so you can reach an intended goal. Do you understand what I mean by that? You'll see it here. James chapter 5, verse 13. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Okay, now, if I'm afflicted, I can pray. See that? But you'll notice this is associated with singing psalms in the same verse right here. Through prayer and worship, you can receive healing manifested. Healing can be appropriated to you with nobody praying for you. You praying for yourself. Through prayer and worship. But now look in verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So, what's another way? Is to lay hands on people and anoint them with oil. Call for the elders of the church, lay hands on them, and anoint them with oil. But now you'll notice, we've already found out that just the laying on of hands. And in Mark chapter 16, there was nothing about the elders. It was those who believe. Nothing about having to have elders. Because see, what happens is many times Christians will get a hold of one thing and they believe that's the way it has to be done. In other words, the whole thing of the oil, you have to anoint them with oil for the healing. Well, you know what? Go through Scripture. Just start in Matthew and keep reading and identify how many times there's an instruction that you have to anoint with oil for healing to manifest. This really is it. Right here. I mean, this is the clear instruction about anointing with oil. So you can lay hands on people, even though you're not an elder, to believe for healing. You can pray and worship for yourself and receive healing. And here you can call for the elders of the church. And they'll lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. But you don't have to have this. See, one of the reasons that... Boy, how can I say this without sounding critical of... Okay, this is not disbelief in the Word of God. This is an instruction, an edification, an exhortation. The reason I don't emphasize this here in James that much is this. You can get people to believe unless somebody, the elders, will lay hands on them and anoint them with oil, they cannot be healed. What happens then is you are putting your faith more in the elders and those people than you are what they're appropriating, what they're doing. And the last thing I want is for somebody to think, well, bless God, I'm going to die if I can't get some elders in here to pray for me. No. Listen, those that believe will lay hands. Do you believe? Do you believe that you can do this? Lay hands on the sick and see people get healed. That means you're qualified to do this. It doesn't have to be me. There are a lot of people, this has happened so many times over the years, where people have brought folks to church for me to pray for them, for their healing. And I'm thinking, what you're telling me then is you don't believe this. Because if you believe Mark 16, then you could lay hands on the sick. And now I'm not saying it's wrong for people to want me to pray for them. What I'm saying is when you get to the place of ignoring what God has said about what you can do and you start esteeming people to be of greater value, the Word of God says you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. So it doesn't. You don't have to rely on other people. Let me move on here to the next one. Number four. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Now I know that we're kind of going fast here because we have a lot of information to cover. The thing is, this is being recorded. You can listen to it over and over again, and some of you are going to have to. Maybe not you here tonight, but some folks are going to have to listen to this over and over again. Because if you're like me, raised not to believe in healing, you need to hear this. See, my whole position about healing was not changed just because I saw somebody healed. My position was changed because, okay, I see these people getting healed, but I started digging into the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changed my position. The things that I saw happen, those were like the hook to get me into the Word. It's the Word of God that changed my position. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 38, and Jesus arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon, that's Simon Peter's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And, in John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you believe the works I do, you shall do also. And a lot of people say, well, no, that was just the apostles. That's impossible because you read through the New Testament, you're going to see people doing things that Jesus said was supposed to only, that preachers will tell you only the apostles were supposed to be able to do. But other folks were ministering as well. Now here we see him doing the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father in this situation? Here's this lady sick with a great fever. And he stands over her and he rebukes it. In other words, that literally means, that word rebuke, it means he spoke to the fever. He spoke to it. He spoke to the fever like it was a living entity. Christians today think that is weirdo stuff. Are you can't speak to sickness. But Jesus did. Listen, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, all right? I want Jesus to be my example. I don't want a preacher who only believes half of what Jesus did to be my example. I want Jesus to be my example. I mean, what better path is there to walk than to do what you can to follow after your Lord and Savior? And if He laid hands, well, then bless God, I'll lay hands. And if that's the wrong thing to do, then God can correct me when I get to heaven. But until then, I'm going to be following the pattern of Jesus Christ. There's no better pattern. He rebuked this sickness. He rebuked it. I don't know what he said, but he told it to leave. The thing left. I've done that. I remember I was called one time to the hospital. There was a lady in the room. The person that called me was the daughter. Can you come and pray? Mom has contracted a rare form of meningitis, and they've had four different doctors run their own set of tests. Every set of tests came back the same. She's going to die within a week or so. Get everything prepared, make the arrangements. There's no hope, because with this kind of meningitis, once they go into a coma, they do not recover, they die. And we don't want to believe this, so would you come and pray? So I went into the hospital room. The daughter was there, and the mother's son was there also. So brother and sister in the room. The brother, first time I met him. So, little introduction, talk a little bit. Then I went to minister to the mom, the tube and everything. I mean, stuff's hooked up to her. And so I spoke to the meningitis. I spoke to it. I said, meningitis in the name of Jesus. I forget my exact words. I curse you. I rebuke you. Leave her body, so on and so forth. I laid hands on her and I prayed, the prayer of faith for her healing. Didn't see anything happen right then, but I left. Talked a little bit more than I left. And the daughter told me, when you left, my brother looked at me and said, he spoke to meningitis. And she said, well, yeah. He says, no, you don't get it. He spoke to meningitis. So the daughter is trying to explain to him what's going on. Well, the next morning, the mother wakes up in the bed, sits up, rings for the nurse, and wants a complete full breakfast. Says, I'm hungry. I want to eat. And the doctors wouldn't let her leave. They kept her for like 3 more days to run tests to try and find out, how did you come out of the coma? How are you healed of this meningitis? Nobody gets healed of this kind of meningitis when they reach the coma stage. But she was healed. In other words, I followed this example of Jesus. I rebuked it. And the thing left. And Mama went home. And as far as I know, she's still alive today. I mean, I don't know how old she is, but, she was healed. So you can rebuke the affliction or the spirit. In other words, when he rebuked this thing, he talked to it like it was a living entity. Now, I'm not saying she was demon-possessed. I'm just saying, like the lady that was bowed over. Remember that? She's bowed over for all those years. It was a spirit of infirmity, an affliction that had her bent over. Jesus rebuked that thing, and that lady got healed. Now, number 5, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Now, we're going to read a variation of the same story of when Peter's mother-in-law was healed. Matthew 8:14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of the fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, number one, this verse 17 where it says that it might be fulfilled, that is not a past tense. It happened then and is not happening now. I don't understand all of the terms for the Greek grammar. But this means that it might be fulfilled. This phrase literally means that it might be an ongoing fulfillment of what was prophesied by Isaiah. Now, in this, where this healing and the manifestation was taking place, Jesus was speaking words. It doesn't say that he was laying hands on them. He may have. But it says he was speaking words. In other words, he was speaking to people to be healed. You can do this for yourself, and you can do this for others. Call yourself healed. Speak to yourself. Listen, that body is not who you are. Do you understand me? That body is the vessel you're living in while you're on this earth. That body is not you.
And sometimes it's like we forget this. Speak to your vessel. Speak to it and tell it, vessel, listen, you're the temple of God's life, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You will serve me on this earth. And sickness, whatever the doctors have called it, rebuke it. Just tell it. Leave. Speak to yourself. Speak the word. What word? Speak the word of God. We'll get to that in just a moment. Speak it to others and speak it to yourself. Call your body healed. Speak of things that aren't as though they were. This is the pattern that we see in Scripture. Let me ask you something. You may be listening to this thinking, well, it just sounds crazy. I never heard this taught before. All right, what would you rather do? Try what I'm sharing or continue to suffer and die? What do you want? And you know what? What I'm sharing with you in this message, how can you lose? In other words, even if you die, you go out trying. That sounds maybe kind of morbid to some people. But at least be able to stand before God and say, well, you know, I may not have, you know, tried as much as I could have, but at least I understand now. So you can speak. Now look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. It says, behold, a woman was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him, touched the hem of his garment. She said within herself, if I may be touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about. When he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now turn over to chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, Jesus, they sent out into all that country round about and were brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So see, it wasn't just the lady with the issue of blood. There are a lot of people, word got out what had happened, if we just touch the hem of his garment, healing power will flow, our bodies will be healed. Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Many people have taken that phrase, special miracles, and made it sound like elite, singular, only for the Apostle Paul. No, that is not what that means. That phrase, special miracles, literally means outstanding miracles, or miracles that were very notable. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So what we see now, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 14, Acts chapter 19, we see a recording of multiple occurrences of people being healed through the coming in contact with fabric. Coming in contact with fabric. Now I can't give you the, you know, spiritual, go to the chalkboard and write the formula down as to exactly why this happens. Because cloth, fabric in and of itself, is not miracle power stuff, okay? But it's the faith. It's the faith in what can happen. Therefore, this is one of the reasons why we will use prayer cloths from time to time. And it's not because the cloth is special. It's because whether we understand it or not, there is a scriptural precedent for it. And this is a way for healing to be appropriated. Turn back over to Matthew chapter 8. This is the seventh one. Matthew chapter 8. We've had people, I know of people who have mailed healing cloths, if you will, or prayer cloths to folks in other places. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you can't physically get it to them, then mail it to them. It's the same thing. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. So what do we have right here? We have an example of somebody, what we would call, standing in the gap for another person to see healing manifested. So here is Jesus
this guy approaches her, who wasn't even a Jew, and he says, here's the situation. And Jesus says, well, I'll come and minister. And the man says, you know what? You don't have to. You can stay right where you are. All you have to do is speak that healing word, and my servant will be healed. And you keep reading the story, and Jesus was amazed at this. He says, I can't even find Jews who believe this. And here we have a Gentile. He says, you know what? Good job, buddy. Your servant's healed. You know what that means? That means that we don't... Boy, some people don't... Please do not misinterpret what I'm saying. We don't always have to be in the physical presence of the person. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the hospital or wrong to visit the person. I'm not saying it's wrong to be there in their physical presence. What I'm saying is we have an example in Scripture. Speak the word and there can be a healing long distance. It doesn't have to, you don't have to be there. And see, this is another thing. A lot of people don't seem to understand this. They think that you got to be there, that you got to touch. Well, we do have examples for that. I'm not refuting that in any way. But what I'm saying is, this is another way that healing can be appropriated. You don't have to be there. Speak the word. Speak the word. So you can come and stand. See, we don't even know if this centurion's servant believed in healing. Think about that. But the centurion did. And the centurion shows up. And he says, look, I'm concerned. I don't want him to die. I love this guy. He's a hard worker. He's my friend. So you speak the word. He interceded, if you will, on his... Now see, that happened here one time. Well, it's happened on several occasions, but I'll share this one. We had somebody come up at the end of the service, wanted prayer for a brother-in-law. The brother-in-law was in the hospital. And the prayer request was, the brother-in-law has this major blockage right next to the heart. They're going to cut him open, and they're going to go in there to try to get this blockage out. So obviously it doesn't kill him or whatever. Could we pray? So they stood right about right there. And I prayed. I laid hands on the sister-in-law, and I prayed for the brother-in-law who was at the hospital. And I forget exactly how I worded it, but it was, you know, for the total and complete manifested healing and so forth. Now, the sister-in-law took note of what time we prayed, went home, and either she called or received a call from her sister, who was married to the brother-in-law. And they said, you're not going to believe what happened. They were taking him down the hallway. Now, this was at a hospital where I used to work. They were taking him down the hallway to surgery to remove the blockage. But before they took him in, they took him right across the hall into radiology to do an x-ray to confirm the location of the blockage before they took him straight across the hallway into surgery to cut him open and take it out. And when they did the x-ray, the right before the surgery x-ray, and they put it up on the x-ray view box and compared it to all the other x-rays, the blockage was completely gone. Completely gone. It was not there. And the doctors couldn't figure out what had happened because this thing was right there at his heart. I mean, blockages don't usually put it in reverse, you know, and it was completely gone. They sent him home. They sent him back up to the room, and they said, we have no explanation. We can't tell you why, but it's gone, and they sent him home. So the sister-in-law stood here in the church in proxy, if you know some people call it, and we prayed for the brother-in-law. I don't even know if the brother-in-law was saved at the time. I have no clue. All I know is she stood in for him. We prayed, and the time that we prayed was the very moment they were pushing him on the gurney down the hallway into radiology. And so the timing of that prayer was perfect, and that fellow was healed, and they sent him home. So you can stand in for somebody. Number 8, turn to Acts chapter 5. Now this last one, to me, out of all the ones that we've read, out of all the healing examples and how healing can be appropriated, this last one to me is the most outstanding. This last one right here, it goes beyond anything that I even read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now I want you to pay close attention to this. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch.
And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Listen, nobody even did that with Jesus that I can read in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They brought sick people and just laid them out on the street. And all they were hoping was, if Peter will just walk by and his shadow hits these people, healing is going to manifest. This one right here to me is the most outstanding of anything we've read here in Scripture. The rest of them they're all incredible miracles. Speak the word, lay hands, all this is incredible. But just to be in the presence and not even touch the hem of the garment, not even have the cloth, just the shadow. What this means is, you find somebody who's walking in that much belief in the power of God, it's possible the sick person just needs to be in the vicinity of that individual. Now, I know a lot of Christians would say, well, it's just the craziest thing I've ever heard. Once again, you believe what you want to believe, but I'm going to go with the examples I see in Scripture. See, what I read in the Bible is potential. This is what can be. So therefore, we have these eight examples. And you can go back and listen to this and check all these out later on. I have prayed for people. Lumps have disappeared right while I prayed for them. I don't know if cancerous or not, but I've prayed for people and cancer has disappeared. I've had folks come in and ask me, you know, I'm going to stand in for, you know, so-and-so. The doctors have said they have cancer. They only have so much time to live. And as they stood and I laid hands on them to pray for this person who was who knows how far away, another state, whatever, I don't know. Healing has manifested. Folks come back to me and tell me, hey, you remember you prayed? They went to the doctor, you know, later that week or whatever, and they can't find any cancer. It's completely gone. These things have happened. And the only reason they've happened is because I have gone to the Word of God and I have chosen to accept what God's Word has to say, and that's how I've ministered. I've let the Word of God be my example. This is why I do the things that I do. And sometimes when I pray for people and I begin rebuking sickness, sometimes Christians give me, I can in their eyes, you know, that, what are you doing, look? You know, I'm like, you know what? You either want me to do this or not. I mean, just trust me here. All right, this is Jesus did it. The apostles did it. The examples in Scripture. Let's do it this way because it seemed to work for them. Why change things now? Look in Colossians chapter 1. This one the Lord shared with me during worship tonight, right before I came up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, we were born again and translated. Physically, we're still here on this earth. But spiritually, we're now citizens of the kingdom, God's kingdom, the kingdom of God's dear Son. All right, now think with me very closely here on this one. There is healing in the kingdom, but there is no healing in this world. This is why we have the medical field. There are no doctors in the kingdom. Do you understand that? There are no hospitals in the kingdom. Healing exists in the kingdom. Healing does not exist in this world. That's why we need medicine. Now, because we're citizens of the kingdom, we have access to all that the kingdom offers, which includes healing. There's no sickness or disease or any of that in the kingdom. None. None whatsoever. So we trust this world to come up with the best solutions they can. You know, pills and shots and chemotherapy and x-rays. I mean, all these different things that they do. None of that exists in the kingdom because in the kingdom there's no sickness. There's no disease, see? So we have access to everything the kingdom has to offer which includes healing. Now, when it comes to you receiving healing, you're going to have to believe that healing is for today and that it is for you, or you may never receive your healing. You're going to have to believe this. You have to. And if that means you go through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just keep reading, all these examples. And when you see Jesus ministering to a sick person, put yourself in the sick person's place. And Jesus healed Bob, who was afflicted. And Jesus laid hands on Susie, and the fever left her. You see what I'm getting at? Put yourself in the healed person, in their position, and imagine that's you. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't want you sick. He wants you healed. He wants you spreading the gospel. He wants you a living, breathing demonstration of the will of the Father here on earth. And not only must you believe it's for today and that it is for you, but you need people of like belief around you. Here's what you do not need. You do not need, I hope, people around you. You know what I mean by that? Well, I hope that, you know, prayer works. Well, I hope God heals you. Well, I hope this all takes, I hope. You don't need that. The kind of people you need are Jesus did, Jesus will, Jesus does, Jesus has. Those are the kind of people you need around you. Jesus did, Jesus will, Jesus does, Jesus has. Those are the people you need surrounding you, constantly reinforcing to you your healing. Listen, you don't need, boy, I don't mean to sound cruel to anybody, but you sure don't need, if you're believing God, if this is a life and death situation, if you're battling a sickness, the one thing you don't need is to be in a church every week where people are going to say, well, if it be the Father's will, where people are going to say, well, I just hope. What you need to be is in a church where the people are going to look at you and call you healed, call you delivered. They're going to look at you and say, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. They're going to stand in agreement with the Word of God. They're going to speak the healing life of God's Word to your life. That's what you need. You don't need doubt and unbelief reinforced, because that'll put you in a grave. You need people who are going to lift you up. In Amos chapter 3, you don't have to turn to this, I'll just quote from it. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Believing for your healing is standing in agreement with your Father. Father God is saying, I want you healed. My will is your healing. I sent my Son to be your healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Healing is still there for you. That is your Father's position. But the moment you start saying things like, well, if it be thy will, the moment you start saying things, well, like I hope, the moment you start saying things like, well, I just don't know, the moment you start saying things like that is the moment you've turned loose of your Father's hand. You're still saved now, but you've turned loose of your Father's hand, and the two of you are no longer walking in agreement. You are walking in disagreement with Him. What can He do? How can He help you when the very thing He wants to do for you, you're telling Him He can't? You're telling Him you don't believe He will. What can He do? You pretty much tied His hands. Now, look in Isaiah 55. And let me just say this right here and right now. I want to make this so clear. Don't misunderstand this. It is not wrong to go to a doctor. Listen, it is not wrong to go to the doctor. Some people will tell you, well, if you're believing God, then you don't need to go to the doctor. No. Let me tell you what happened to a good friend of mine, dear friend of mine. He went to the doctor. The doctor ran tests. They said, you've got something kind of cancer. And they said, you're going to die. And it was just a bad situation. So what he did, and he's a man who believed in healing, and still does, he's alive today, he went into the scriptures and he found all these healing scriptures. We're going to touch on about three or four of them here in a moment. And he just began to repeat these over and over and over and over and over, confessing, for up to like 10 hours a day. And this went on day after day, week after week, month after month. And I forget how many months, like 10 months or so. I forget how long it was, but he said one day, it was like he just stepped over into a whole different realm with God. It went beyond just being confessing the Word of God to where suddenly he realized that Word he had been confessing was alive in him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word.
So what he did was continually do this over and over, over and over, and over and over, and over and over again, until one day he saw it. He saw his healing. And you know what? He went to the doctor, and that cancer was completely gone. He was healed. Completely gone. So it's not wrong to go to the doctor. Now, what happened? Devil didn't give up. Period of time went by, a different type of cancer attacked his body. And he went to God in prayer and he said, Father, because the first time he would not do any of the therapy, the chemotherapy, the drugs, none of it. He wouldn't do any of it. But this time he went to God and he said, Father, do I have the faith to beat this one the way I did the other time? And God told him, said, no, you need to go to the doctor. And so, now see, some people would say, well, it's just the dumbest thing in the world. Walk by faith, not by sight. Faith believes God's going to be straight up with you and tell you what the deal is. A lot of people need to be asking God, do I need to go to the doctor or not? Instead of being foolish, look, if you don't have the word in you, how can you expect the word to produce healing? You follow what I'm saying here? Now, Isaiah 55, verse 11, God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, relative to healing, God has sent his word forth, and there are passages in Scripture that speak of healing. Now, I need to find out what those passages are, but I want to encourage you with the word of God just a little bit further in this. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now look here in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Now, I mean, this right here, health to the marrow to thy bones. You know what? If I were battling cancer, I think I'd pay attention to this. Marrow to my bone. Do you realize it's possible that you might not have to have a marrow transplant? Marrow. How are you going to get around what it says right here? In other words, trust in the Lord. What's the Lord said? My word, when it goes forth, it will not depart from me. It will accomplish. It will not return void. It will accomplish what I send it to accomplish. And here he's telling you right here, trust me in this, because it'll be health to your body. Marrow to your bones. Look in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. What is a froward mouth and perverse lips? Well, relative to what we're studying tonight, a froward mouth and perverse lips would be, I'm not healed. I don't know. You know, I hope. Maybe. Father, if it be thy will. You know, oh God, I hope you come through for me. That to God, those are perverse lips. Because that's not speaking his will. That's you being in disagreement with the Father. When he says, look, you take my words, and you know what's going to happen here? He says, you keep them. Keep them. They're life to you. They're health to your flesh. And fill your heart with them, because out of your heart will come the issues of life. I've got to put the word of God in my heart concerning healing, and then turn around and speak that word. Release that word, because out of it are the issues of life. I'm expecting God to do his part, but he wants me to do my part with his word. Look over in Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And somebody would say, well, yeah, but you know what? That had to do with the Jews when they came out of Egypt. All right, let me get this straight. God's going to do more for them than he will for his own children? His own children, blood-bought. You telling me that the healing power of God's word doesn't apply to those that are born again with the very life and nature of God? Is that what you're going to tell me? No. If he did it, even in the New Testament, it says things happened to those folks back then for an example to us. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed you. He sent his word and healed. The healing power is contained in his word. Healing power is alive on the inside of his word. Healing power, I mean, his word, it contains power for healing. So I take this, you know, Father, you sent your word and you healed me, delivered me from all destruction, delivered me from all disease. Father, I am healed because you sent your word and healed me. Your word has healed me because you sent it to heal me. I'm healed, and your word will not return void, but it is accomplishing the manifestation of healing in my body right here, right now. You see, you turn this into a confession and you speak this truth over yourself. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now see, there are a lot of scriptures that we could use concerning healing relative to confessions. And I'm not going to go through those tonight. And the reason I'm not is because you need to go through the Bible and find them for yourself. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The more you get into the Word of God and find these healing verses, these healing promises, these healing passages, and you turn them into confessions, like I just gave you an example with the one over there in Psalms, the more that you do this, is the more that your faith is going to come, the more you're going to be filling your heart with the Word of God, the Word of healing, and you're going to begin speaking this Word. And you better be prepared for opposition, because if you're living in a household where people don't believe this, you're going to have to pretty much close the door and get alone. And at least politely ask them, don't say those things around me, okay? At least give me a fighting chance here. You know, don't tell me that I'm going to be sick. I already know what my body is fighting. I already know what I'm going through. At least give me a chance to trust God. At least give me a chance to put my faith in my Father and believe for what He can do. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus, I thank you, you shed your blood for my salvation. I'm born again, but not only that, by your stripes I was healed. By your stripes I was healed. Jesus, you healed me. By your stripes, I was healed. Body, do you hear this? By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Sickness, affliction, do you hear this? You cannot take up residence. You can't live here any longer. This is not your home. This is not where you live. I'm healed. Body, you're healed. You're going to live. You're not going to die. You're going to declare the mighty works of God. You go through the Bible and you find these things. And you begin to speak these things over you. And you begin to sow the Word of God into your life, and this healing, the power of this healing begins to build up on the inside of you. The power of what His Word can do begins to build up. Look in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to close with this passage. Philippians chapter 4. Look what this says. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You can't rejoice in the Lord always when you're complaining and bellyaching about your bellyache. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You say, well, that's kind of hard to do. Well, it may be, because your body's going to tell you there's nothing to rejoice about. But He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Then He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You've got to believe that the Lord is at hand for you, what you're going through. The affliction that you're battling with your body, the Lord is at hand. Okay? Thank God for everybody else who's there. But the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He's there with you. And then He says, be careful, or don't be anxious. Don't be troubled. Don't be worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 7, peace is not going to happen unless you're actually doing verse 6. You can't go to God in prayer believing for verse 7 to take place and walk away from that prayer still full of the worry, full of the care. Yes, but my body doesn't feel any better. You know what? I'm not going to argue that point. Seriously. I know your body's not feeling any better. But you know what? The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know what that really means? I mean, in this situation, if you die, you're going to be with Jesus. I mean, you don't lose. We'll miss you, you know. But you understand what I'm getting at. So at least carry the attitude of, you know what, I'm casting the care of this over onto you. And if I've waited too late to believe you for my healing, then you know what, you're going to see me pretty soon. But between now and then, I'm not going to bellyache. And I will not speak against you. I will call you my healer to my very last breath. I will declare what your word has to say to everybody around me. And as my eyes are closing for that last time, they're going to see your life in my eyes because you have made it possible for me to be healed. And I praise you for this. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. Think on these things. Meditate. Put these things in your brain. In other words, you think about what the Word says for your healing. You think, that's what you think about. I know you're in pain. I know you don't feel good. But he says, you think about this stuff. He's not saying deny the battle that you're facing. He's not saying bury your head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist. No, he's saying instead of thinking about that other stuff, which really doesn't make you feel any better, you know, think about these things. And verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. In other words, he's saying, you follow the example of the apostles, the example of Jesus. You consider what you've learned from them, not from what people are telling you. Healing doesn't work. Healing's not for today. He said, you think about what they have said. You think about what God has declared. All this other stuff, even if your best friends or family are speaking against healing, you love them, but you cast down those imaginations that they're trying to sow into your life because they're trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Now, we could go through, if this were a seminar, we'd go through and we'd pick out all kinds of verses, healing verses, and we'd turn them into confessions and so forth. But that's not what this is. Tonight is the overview sermon. And I'm encouraging you, look, get into the Word of God. Find these kind of the healing verses. Find where Jesus performed the healings and put yourself in there. Bring it home to you. Make it alive to you. This works. I can remember one time, I'm taking a shower. And I found this lump under my arm. And it wasn't horribly painful, but it was there. And I'm thinking, man, what's this? I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't tell Kathy. I didn't tell anybody. I just thought, no, I'm not having this. And this was, man, I don't know, 20-something years ago. So anyway, I just started speaking the word to it. And I mean, when I would be on my break at work, this is before I was in full-time ministry, I'd go out and I'd be walking around and I'd just be speaking the word, you know, kind of a whispery under my, because I didn't want to scare people. But I just, you know, kind of whisper, speaking the confession, you know, by Jesus Christ, lump, you know. I mean, I just, everything I've shared tonight, I did it. And I think it was like within 2 weeks, man, that lump was completely gone, never came back. Completely gone. I don't know what it was. You know, because people always say, well, what was it? Don't know what it was. Well, what do you think it was? I don't know what I think it was, but I can tell you what I know it is. Gone. And I'm healed. So listen, I once believed these things don't work. But I can testify to you tonight, I've seen them work through the ministry of other people, the way that God's ministered through me, and from my own personal healing. That lump thing was just one example. It works. It works. Now, here's the challenge. Are you going... this isn't about believing me. It's about believing what I've shown you in the Word of God tonight. Are you going to believe God's Word that I've shown you? Or will you continue to believe the stuff that you've heard all your life? Will you continue to believe that healing's not for today? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this message? You're not going to be preachers hear this and think, well, man, if I buy into this and accept this, I mean, man, I'm going to have to go back and unteach a lot of my old sermons. And what's the problem with that? Hey, I stood up here. I'm telling you right, I admitted that I was wrong. You know, just teach the people the right way. And just tell them, look, I always believed it wasn't for today, but now, guys, listen, here's what the Word of God has to say. Our denomination has always told us, but here's what the Word of God has to say. And you know what? We're going to do it God's way from now on. And we're going to believe for your healing. We're going to believe for it. And if it doesn't happen and a person dies, you know what? That does not disprove the Word of God. Because the Word of God will never pass away. There's healing in this Word. I want you guys to be encouraged by this tonight. Those of you here, those of you listening, Man, listen to this over and over and over again. You know somebody that's battling a sickness? Get them a copy of this message. And then encourage them. Apply what you hear. It's not about believing a preacher. It is about believing Almighty God, our Father. Hallelujah. Would you please stand?